I'm the man of the hour, the man with the power. Too sweet to be sour.
Woo! Woo!
Don't be rude.
Welcome to the Godfathers of Podcasting, broadcasting live on the Shuly Network every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern. Now, in case y'all didn't know, they've been podcasting since before podcasting was even called podcasting. Archives of this show are available on every major podcast provider, and you can find video archives, merch, and more on their website, godfathersofpodcasting.com. Now, here are your hosts, two guys who have been broadcasting online since 1996. The Godfathers of Podcasting themselves, Donnie Da Silva and Chris Tidwell.
I'm Donnie. That's Tid. This is the 137th installment of this shit show. Thanks for hanging out with us. If you're sitting live in the chat on the Shuly Network, we want to hear from you. Tid is keeping an eye on the chat room. And if you're tuning in after the fact because you missed the live party, it's all good, baby. We still love you. We're on godfathersofpodcasting.com. Like Gina said in the intro. And of course, you can check us out on any major podcast provider anytime you want. But the fun is to hang with us live. Chris Tidwell, how are you, my man?
I am still buzzing.
You're always buzzing.
Well, I mean, that's a different story altogether. Let me just put this out here right now so I can pay attention. Oh, that still burns. Hey, buddy. What's going on? I'm good now. This was a it's been a long 2 weeks. We weren't here last week, of course, because you know, everything busy going on, travel with the Shuly Network, and of course then the weekend, the big show in Pottstown. That doesn't mean I've been apparently the big hubbub going around everywhere, as that's the talk on the Shuly Network as well as many other podcasts, but that's a completely different story. I went to Pottstown. I enjoyed it very much. I heard you were also in the great state of PA, Pennsylvania.
It's like, so funny. The two of us were both in the U.S. We are both in Pennsylvania, and we're about 45 minutes away from each other at completely separate events.
That's crazy.
If it hadn't been for the event I was attending, I would have also been in Pottstown right there with you, laughing my ass off and having a good time. Unfortunately, I had a prior engagement that I couldn't really get out of.
Well, I mean, you could have, but it would have just left the other people very high and dry trying to find. Really? Are you?
Yeah, look at that.
What are you, an usher? Is that what's going on? You're like trying to figure out where their table was?
I will have you know, I am an ordained minister from the Universal Life Church.
By who? What the fuck is a universal? What the fuck is a Universal Life Church?
It's an online church where you can get ordained. I got ordained. I am now Reverend Donnie.
Did you have to? You're irreverent. Did you have to take a fucking course?
Yeah, man. I got to do the whole thing. Listen.
How many questions? How many fucking questions did you have?
I'm not going to get into the details with you, but I can tell you I am fully licensed. Uh-huh. I have my credentials. I have my certification. I've got my wallet.
All right.
My wallet card.
How long did it take to get ordained?
Shockingly not long.
So I mean, what you're saying is we could have one of the producers right now go on to that same thing and have their license by the time we're done with this show.
I mean, you'd have to wait for the license to be shipped to you, but yeah, maybe.
Wow. Andy, do you want to be a priest?
It depends if Andy has $80.
Yeah.
No, you're paying for that.
I grew up in the church, so I might have had enough of that. And I don't have $80 either.
Wow, sounds like a cash grab. They'll just give it to anybody, apparently.
It was listen, aside from all that, it was a super fucking cool experience. It was my cousin that got married. He
Hold
and
on
his
a second.
Fiance asked me to get ordained and perform their service, and it was fucking surreal.
It looks like a beautiful, beautiful arrangement. She looks beautiful. He looks beautiful. That's the end of the beautiful in that picture.
Yeah. I was like, here comes the setup. Okay.
That's good. You had a fantastic time as well. The drive is always fun. You know what I mean? But yet here we are.
Let me tell you, I don't even think I've told you this part yet. On my drive down, I was in PA. And then my kid wanted to take a trip into New York City, a day trip, right? On the Thursday. So I'm like, okay, no problem. We take a day trip into New York City. Somewhere in the middle of some shit town in Jersey, I get a warning light on my dashboard that my tire pressure in my front passenger front tire on the passenger side, my tire pressure has gone dangerously low. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? So I'm watching it and the pressure's dropping. Mm-hmm. And then I'm trying to get off the highway. By the time I get off the highway, I'm on the rim. That's how low it is. So I get to a service station. I fill it up with air. I overfill it. I find a Goodyear tire that's 3 minutes away. By the time I drive there, I'm on the rim again. That's how bad the hole is.
Wow.
They fix it. They get me on the road an hour later. As I'm leaving Manhattan, going back to the small town in PA where I'm staying with family, the back tire on the passenger side is now losing air. I had two flat tires on the same trip.
Wow. It's you know why? You know
I bought
why?
A lottery ticket, didn't
you? You know why?
I bought a lottery ticket.
This was coming back from PA?
This was during the trip. Uh-huh. I took a trip from PA to Manhattan and then from Manhattan back into Allentown.
They found out you were a shitty fucking 49ers fan. That's what happened.
Someone spiked my tire?
Yeah, I'm not saying that could have happened, but that might have happened. Listen, these motherfuckers beat the shit out of a robot.
Where was producer Joe at that time? Maybe he spiked my tires.
Who knows? It could have been anybody. Could have been Meanie. That guy's up to no good sometimes.
I'm blaming
all of you. Very quickly, let me say hi. Reverend Bob Levy quotes in there in the chat. Steve Plum, Miles McGooby, everybody. Hello. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. Things are going to get crazy. I don't know if you saw the announcement. Do we say something about this? Do we bring in our guests? Do we do something about this? Or do we just bring in our guests there, Donnie?
Well, let's just say this. I mean, we had advertised that another guest was going to join us. Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, card subject to change, baby. And things happen, right? Beyond our control. We will have that gentleman on again very near future.
Yep.
But hey, circumstances beyond our control. Wasn't able to join us this week, but this man is pinch hitting. So you know what? Let's do it. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time right now for the big hello. And this week's guest is brand new to this program, but not to this network. He's a part of the BS show, the Miserable Men, the Freddie Mercury show, the Uncle Rico show. He's only got a few minutes to spare because he's about to go start his 11th podcast of the week. Watching him perform is a holistic comedy experience. Killer bits, parodies of songs, fucking props, puppets, impressions. This guy's a stud. Aside from his work on the Shuly Network, you've seen him on America's Funniest People, and you've heard his stuff from his time as a monologue writer on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. He's also been a guest on The Howard Stern Show, and he's open for some heavyweights, including Willie Nelson, Lisa Lampanelli, and the late Gilbert Gottfried. We were all fired up to chat with the Reverend, but we're stoked for this impromptu opportunity to chat with the always hilarious Mike Morse.
How you fucking guys doing? truthfully, it's great to be here.
I was going to say, can we just get you to do the Bob Levy impression for this?
My fucking back. Hold on.
Hey, gentlemen.
How you doing, Mike?
Doing good, guys. Thank you for having me on, man. Here's what I've gleaned. I was backstage listening. Donnie, God does not want you to be a minister.
No.
He's trying to give you a hint. He's like, just stop driving to places to marry people.
Oh, that's why I lost two tires?
Yeah.
I thought it was a sign I was supposed to stay the fuck out of Manhattan. I thought that was the clue.
No.
I thought it was the sign he was supposed to drive into a ditch.
Stiff.
Tremendous. Mike, first and foremost, thank you very much for joining us. This first time listener, probably first time caller, first time guest, all of the above for you here. We appreciate it. Of course, everybody knows we appreciate everything that the Shuly Network does for us. Please, if you haven't yet, hop into the chat. Let's get this thing going. You were in Pottstown. This is my first time ever seeing you. You are like live, obviously, and you are a little bit of a different act than the rest of the guys on the card, right? Like you come from you're way more traditional than say like a Bob Levy. No, dude, Mike killed. And he played this super fucking awesome song at the end of his set that was tremendous.
Thinking of you.
Well, I appreciate that.
That's the name of the song. By the way, I am thinking of you.
My bad. What? Tell us, because you don't get a chance to talk very much when it's Bob and Shuley and everybody's talking. Sakes,
whenever Bob's around, you don't get a chance to talk unless Kevin's in the room.
Well, that's a different story. Yeah. What did you take away from Pottstown?
I had a great time. It was a great crowd, you know, big crowd, fun crowd. It was great. There was a lot going on. There was the audio problems in the beginning. You know, it's a new venue. It was a huge venue, and just, you know, working through that and trying to get through the podcast and then the comedy show, when you have, you know, the likes of High Pitch Eric and Perry and, you know, Ray, and you're just roaming around. There's a lot of moving parts.
There wasn't a lot of room back there for all of those moving parts because, I mean, Eric's he takes up a bit of space.
Yeah.
And of course, Perry and his entourage. I mean, wow. How was that meeting the great?
It was Perry, amazing. Listen,
was it amazing, scary, and all of the above?
Yes. Like, yeah, it was everything I'd hoped it to be. I got punched by Perry, which is great. That's like, cause I think the last time I offered him pickles, he had had enough. Cause I had done it several times throughout the podcast, live podcast. And he just jumped up and he came at me and he punched me in the arm. And I was like, all right, my day is made.
Did it bruise? Are you going to go get it tattooed now? Like the area?
I should have had him sign it. Yeah. but yeah, man, it's like, cause you don't know, man, you watch his Twitch and you watch the movie and you're like, is it real? Is it legit?
Right.
But it is. Backstage, he was, you know, he was nervous going out to mm-hmm. come out, and he was tearing up because he was nervous to go out, and I was being very paternal to him. I was like, listen, Perry, they're here for you. They're going to love you. Doesn't matter what you say. As soon as you walk out, there's going to be this enormous ovation, and they're going to love every single thing you say. And here's the beauty. He's like, thanks, Jackie. Yes. I was like, okay. In a moment, it wasn't my moment, but it was Jackie's moment.
It's a bit of a left-handed compliment right there, right?
right. That was great.
Fucking great.
Excuse me. I had hoped for that. That was our whole game plan because when he was on Uncle Rico several months ago, I had a Perry wig on and a fedora hat, and you know, we didn't mention it, and he just starts calling me Jackie for no. All of a sudden, he thinks I'm Jackie. So of course we're going with it, and we did, and so we kept going with it for this weekend, and it was better than I could have expected.
He's Mike, clearly a bit of a savant, though, right? Like Perry is clearly a bit of a savant.
Yeah, it still is an enigma. It's real. I don't think it's not real, but you know, it's like Rain Man. When you watch Rain Man, you're like, right. You know, he knows some things and he doesn't know other things, and there's a connection, but there's also a disconnect, and that's what makes it interesting. I'm talking about Ray now. No.
Right.
No. Mike, I want to ask you, when you talk about, hey, Perry, just go out there, they're going to love you no matter what. Can a stand-up get to a point where they are so big that they are unbombable?
No. There's no, the bigger you get, the more leeway you get. But, right. You know, you have to... You know, you have to serve it out, and they'll give you, if you're Chappelle or if you're, you know, whoever's huge, they'll give you 10 minutes. And then after that, they'll be going, okay, that's not funny again. It's, you know, and it's not like music where you can just go with the beat, you know, even if you don't like the song, you're like, all right, well, I'll wait for a good song. And you hear several jokes you don't like, you're like, what the fuck is this? I paid $100 to look at this and watch this guy.
Right.
About 10 years ago, I had a gig where I had to go cover a stand-up event, and it was Dane Cook performing a sold-out arena in Toronto.
Mm.
He fucking bombed, bro. Oof. Like, his timing was off. He was forgetting his bits. Like, it was just I don't know if he was on something. He was a fucking mess.
Right.
But the crowd still ate up his shit.
Really?
Because they love Dane Cook. And meanwhile, I'm like, okay, it is my fetish to watch comics bomb. Like, I fucking get
hard to that. He didn't bomb then if they were still digging it.
That's the thing. Like, yeah. I'm sitting there going, this is brutal, but the crowd's still eating the shit up, thinking, I don't know, maybe they thought it was performance art and he was doing it on purpose. I don't fucking know.
Well, also, he's very physical. So
100%.
That helps. Even if the jokes aren't, you know, landing brain-wise, they're happy that he's jumping around and doing this and doing that. And yeah, so yeah, they do get a lot of leeway. Years ago, right after Seinfeld ended his show, about 5 months later, he had announced that he was going to do all new material. He's burying all his old material. He was only going to do brand new material. So I was at Stand Up New York hanging out there. And it's Seinfeld's coming in to do his new stuff.
Yeah.
Buzz goes through all the comics are excited. Everybody. So, but people in the showroom, they don't know. They're just there watching the show. And it was a good show. Everybody's laughing, blah, blah, blah. So he comes strolling in and he was very nice saying hello to everybody because he was the most famous person in the world at that point. It was, you know, a couple months after Seinfeld had ended. He's on every magazine cover, everything. So he goes in and they introduce him. He goes on stage and they stop clapping before he even gets on stage. And he went like he's walking up and he went, looking at you, and he's like, what the fuck? Because that never happens. You know, there's ovation. Then he has to go, stop. I have to do some comedy now. They stop. And he starts doing his bit. 5 minutes in, he is fucking dying. He is sweating. He's dying.
Wow.
Yeah. He does his 15 or whatever it was, gets almost no laughs. Wow. Comes off, is sweat. He leaves. Here's what happened. We didn't know. It was a tour group from like Norway or something. They spoke English. Well, no, they spoke English, but they didn't know who he was. So he's up there just doing his notes like, hey, you know, there's a thing about wallpaper. What is this deal? And it with an American audience, they would, yeah, wallpaper, because it's Jerry.
Right.
Yeah, they didn't know who the fuck he was and died. And it was, of course, for a comedian. It's great. Well, look at that. Yeah.
They're looking for fucking David Hasselhoff at this point.
Right.
You got to admit it. Wow. Watching Seinfeld bomb, you got a half chub.
It was amazing.
At the same time, got to be demoralizing because you're sitting there going, wait a second. If a guy like this is bombed, maybe I need to like rewrite some material. Well, but or also
he was doing brand new stuff. I mean, he brought notes up. It was probably a lot of the stuff first time he had done it.
So do you remember your biggest bomb?
Yeah, that was Pottstown.
That was, you know, you were not that person on the card.
Thank you.
just throwing shade.
Yeah. The worst was I'd been doing it just a few years and they booked me to do a Republican club dinner. And it was a huge event, like 200 people. Okay. And so the lady who hired me says, all right, we're going to serve dinner and bring you on. And I'm like, no, because everybody's going to be eating. They're hungry. Right. I go, I'll wait till they're finished. As soon as the plates start getting taken off, I'll go on. No, we want you up now. So I go up and of course I fucking bite it. And because everybody's, they're eating. And so I was supposed to do, 40 minutes. I'm 20 minutes in and nobody's laughing, and I'm just and some guy in the back starts yelling at me, and it turns out it was one of the councilmen. He's like, and so I was like, all right, well, I'll just if you guys don't, you enjoy your meal, and I leave.
That has got to be the fucking, like, you're sitting up there trying to tell jokes and you can just hear the sound of forks scraping across a plate. What I mean,
when they say you're going up when the food's coming out, that's the kiss of death.
What's tougher, dude, doing a gig like that for the Republican Party or like a corporate gig? Like, I feel like both have to be so fucking sanitized.
Yes.
And like, that can't be fun, right? For somebody who, I mean, I know that you're probably a little more accustomed to that style of humor. Right. You've written for network TV and all of that, but it's got to be a little bit of a handcuff.
Well, it ain't fun, but I used to have a corporate set that I could pull out and do. I mean, it's you're doing it for the paycheck. It's
sure.
You go out there and you're like, you've got your jacket on and you're like, how about these airplane peanuts? And you do your thing and nobody's offended and you get the big check, hopefully, and then you go home and then you go do shit you want to do.
reminds me of the Canadian sketch comedy troupe from the 80s, Kids in the Hall.
Oh, yeah.
When they signed a big network deal, they came out and did this PSA and said, "Hey, fans, I don't want to hear you say Kids in the Hall sold out. You can say Kids in the Hall sold out and made a lot of money, and that's okay."
Yeah. You know, it's hard to resist those paychecks sometimes.
Ain't gonna do. Yeah. I heard that you have the best Jagger impression in the business.
I do, but I can't. It's a jumping around thing. I can't do it now.
It's all physical?
It's partially physical. I mean, because he's a very physical man.
All right. But, we will look for that in an in-person session.
Maybe we're gonna do need a Dean Jagger impression.
Yeah, we're going to need you to film Quantum something Leap, if you don't mind, and send it in.
So absolutely. I'll get to work on
I'll have your people send you the paperwork.
Right. Have my people contact your people. We have a lot of people.
No, yeah. It's the same people, and they're all yours. I know. So we don't even know what the fuck we're doing here.
So I wanted to say, by the way, with Tid, it was great meeting you, at the gig. And it was great that you were there, because there was those really drunk guys. and I
did you go into bouncer mode?
No, not at all.
No, he didn't have to, but these guys were really drunk, and I kind of hit on them hard while I was on stage. Mm-hmm. And you know, you never know at the end. And so I'm happened to be talking to Tid while these guys got up and left, and I was like, well, I feel pretty safe. I don't think
No, I was literally right behind him. Funny story. So at one point, I'm talking with Shuli. We're just chopping it up a little bit, and this guy walks up and he asks, you know, starts talking to Shuli. So I'm just paying attention to him, watching the rest of the show, and then another couple comes up and they start talking to Shuli. And so then this first guy comes over and introduces himself to me or whatever, and he looks me in the eye and he goes, "Are you Shuli's bodyguard?" No, like, no, not at all. He's like, "Oh, are you sure? Like, you're sure you're not Shuli's bodyguard?" I'm like, "Bro, his name is Shuli. He's litigious. He doesn't need a bodyguard." like, don't worry about me. Are you sure?
Are you sure?
I'm very sure.
I can confirm, Mike, from the days, this is going back 3 decades now, when I first started hanging out with Tidwell. Holy shit, man. My voice got a lot louder when I knew he was next to me. Yeah. I got a lot fucking braver. I verbally poked people up the ass and didn't care, because I knew I had fucking backup. And
yeah,
I was just like,
yeah, it's the visual intimidation. That's all you need.
And I'm taller than this guy, but he is the scariest. Like this is the older, softer, gentler Tid. Younger Tid was a fucking feral beast. Yeah.
It's all legend and lore. It's myth.
Fact.
It's all myth. Listen, Mike, I'd be remiss if I didn't say that, like, I do another show that is starting off, and we're doing some really wacky stuff. And
I'm the only guy here that does one podcast. Yeah,
no, it's crazy. I do an MMA show on the SNME network, SNME radio as well. And I do a show called The Marijuanderers. And we have some fans that have been very much into deep fakes, and we know that this is a thing. And we had some fans send over some stuff, and I'd be remiss if we didn't put these up to see, like, there's some questions that we need to have answered.
Right, that's real. That's real. That is real.
Can you explain this?
Well, listen, Shuli had a period of time where he wasn't sure. Mm-hmm. And so he kind of experimented, and mm-hmm. I'm a good friend. I was with him, and obviously had a better hairstylist at that point.
this is one of many questions. As well, I'm not sure if you saw this one or not. Go ahead. Yes. The new Shuli Network group photos. Of course.
Like Bob's back there. That's the best. And here's what he'd be doing. My fucking cock's bigger than that.
You see the fucking arms on Shuli, though?
My fucking cock is my package. That ain't mine.
The fucking arms on Shuli, though. I mean,
he looks like Goldberg. Gay Goldberg there.
Gayberg.
Yeah.
Oh, I need somebody with a bigger cock. Come on.
Thanks to the marijuanderers for passing
this.
This is the one that I need to have some explanation. Can we just play this? You can explain this.
Yeah. Is your name Wi-Fi? Because I'm feeling a connection. I know we're not socks, but I think we'd make a great pair. If girls were boogers, I'd pick you first. Life without you is like a broken pencil. Pointless.
Yeah, that is actually me. I do have the world's worst tattoo. I don't even know what the fuck
that was. Was that your actual act?
That was me.
Was that you doing Ray's act for him?
I actually did have a mullet sort of like that back in the 80s. Yeah.
Why'd you get rid of it?
Because it's not the 80s anymore. All right, this might be a fake. I'm one sexy bitch. I'm not going to lie. Yeah,
what are we looking at, dude?
this is Mike's fashion show, apparently.
I'd fuck me.
Holy shit. Okay, I got to ask, because Tid has made a couple references to it. Yeah. I miss the fun in Pottstown because I was busy being a minister. But, dude, I've caught a little bit of Miserable Men this week, or was it the BS? Fuck off with that shit. Yeah. Where I was, maybe it was the BS show I was watching on Monday. I caught a little bit of Ray earlier today on the Shuley Network, and he and Bob just fucking tore each other apart. What did I miss, dude? Like, Ray DeVito just, like, what happened? He fucking bombed or what? Like, what happened?
No, he did okay. He went up first, which is always tough.
That's tough.
Yeah, you know, Shuley was the MC, did a couple minutes, and then brings Ray up. And listen, first up in that kind of atmosphere is very difficult. I don't think he's used to that kind of crowd,
right?
You know, we used to do the Killers of Comedy with Stern, and you know, me having opened for Lampanelli for the many years, I know a rabid crowd who is there to see someone other than yourself, and what you kind of have to do to keep things together, and so he was just trying to do his act, and you know, it I think it just spooked him a little bit, and he left. I think the problem was he left early. You know, he left after 5 or 6 minutes. He was supposed to do 10.
Right.
And, and Shuley was out, whatever, you know, Shuley had a million things going on, as you can imagine, with a show that size. And yeah, so that's where that happened. And then there was the whole hotel thing, which is a whole other thing. Just watch the shows to figure it out. I don't know.
Yeah. It's crazy.
I need to know, dude, what are you going to charge me to write me a solid 5-minute set so I can fulfill my wet dreams and get on stage?
I will do it for nothing.
Well, then you're getting some backstage action.
Yeah.
Dude, absolutely. I'm going to laugh if he sends you, just runs it through Chat GPT.
I'm going to send you Ray's set.
Tremendous.
Hey, before you go, I got to ask you, man, because I alluded to this in the intro. I mentioned it a second ago. How fucking hard is it writing for network TV, doing monologue work, working with a guy who, you know, for a lot of years kind of got maligned as being, you know, very PG and safe. And in the old days when he was a stand-up, Jay Leno was a fucking murderer.
Oh, yeah, yeah, funny guy. Yeah.
How tough is that gig, man?
It is. It's not. It's fun because you don't have to go crazy. It's just like you're just trying to find a funny little nugget, and you knew it was funny. After I wrote for a while for tonight's show, you knew what stuff Jay liked, so you would gear the jokes toward. He loved Whole Food jokes. For some reason, he had a hard on for Whole Food, and so if you somehow crowbarred Whole Foods into the joke, they would use it. So, it's that kind of stuff. But it was like, you know, at that time, it was crazy time because I was working on Miserable Men on Sirius, you know, with Shirley and Bob. We were doing that. I was writing for and opening for Lampanelli and writing for The Tonight Show. And I was writing for Mad Magazine. So it was like, you don't even have time to think of what you're writing. You're just like, right. All right, you need this. And you just pound it out. And hopefully it's funny enough to use.
Do you do a Leno?
Yeah, not really. You know, it's funny. Perfect. Here's the thing. Because you know, you wouldn't know what joke he would use. You know, they never sent. I was doing it remote. What joke he would use? So you'd have to watch every night. and give a shit about the Tonight Show except for the paycheck. So I was every night I would watch, and he would come to your joke. Hey, you know, here's something, I don't know if you know about Whole Foods. They got a new thing, and he would fuck up the punchline sometimes. Yeah, you know, they went in and I don't know what happened is, and there was no chickens, but he'd fuck up the punchline, and it wouldn't get a laugh. You go, motherfucker! I'm screaming at Jay Leno on my TV set.
And then does he come back to the writers after and give them heat if it doesn't get a laugh?
I don't know. I was doing it remote. I was doing it. From okay. I don't know what happened, but yeah, boy, it's I felt bad yelling at a national icon at 11:45 at night. I'm screaming at my TV set. You fucked it up, Jay. But I still got paid. So.
It was a very Ray moment for you.
We know that you were good to join us last second as a pinch hitter. You've got a heart out, and we know you're up against the clock. So before you run, anyone on the Shuly Network is very well familiar with you. For anyone else who's hearing you across our networks, how can they find you online and learn more about Mike Morris and what you're up to?
Oh, well, first of all, thanks for having me. I come back anytime. I love you guys.
Please do. When you have more time.
I love Tid. I like you. I don't know you, Donnie.
I'm a dick.
That's right. I got the hug Tid, so I love him.
Yeah, yeah.
but yeah, if you want to join me on Twitter, it's at Mike Morse Says, M-O-R-S-E, at Mike Morse Says. Oh, look at them. We got it right here.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, it's funny. You know, when you start, when you start doing a plug and it comes up. at Mike Morse Says on Instagram, at Insta Mike Morse. And of course, I am lurking all over the Shuly Network. And so, yeah, thanks, guys. Man, this was really fun.
Thank you. Thanks, awesome, brother. Man. We'll do it again.
Yep. See you soon.
All right. That's Mike Morris, everybody. We still got more show, though.
Donnie, let's get some of these. We got a couple of super chats in there that I would feel remiss if we did not read them. And okay. You know, some hellos. Let's start right. Terry Knee, $5. I feel I had a private jet ready, but ended up on Spirit Airlines. Love, Mike. Weird look out the face emoji. Well, I'm sorry to hear that, Terry, but Spirit Airlines still gets to finish the job. Saint Ranger 1959, $3. Mike, will you write comedy sets for money for anyone? Who wouldn't?
Yeah.
Who wouldn't? I mean, Jesus.
Oof.
Perry's Diploma, $1.99. Mike, leave already.
Well, he did. Money well spent.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you. Thank you so much for that. $2. Appreciate you all. Thank you so much to Mike for popping in like that. Ladies and gentlemen, this is where we get to have some fun with you guys. So let's go. Bring it in the chat. Let's see what the best that you've got to offer. Donnie, what have you got in the news for us this week that we can chat it up about?
All kinds of stuff. Let me ask you this question, Tid, and I'll throw it out to the chat. Have you ever fapped to photos of an 81-year-old woman?
Yes.
I thought so. Martha Stewart, ladies and gentlemen, is the oldest cover model in the history of the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue. And there it is. Hello.
I mean, this is proof. This is proof that there is no such thing as unattractive when you have the ability to have that kind of makeup artist around you.
Listen. Wait, is she wearing anything on the bottom half? Can we zoom in? What's going on there?
Of course she is. That's a one piece.
It's
a one piece, and yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. All right.
Good for her. Fantastic. Good for her. 81 seems a little dry to be in a swimsuit edition, but I mean, this is Martha Stewart. First of all, she's gone to prison. She's
way better than she did at 50.
She gets high as balls with Snoop Dogg. She still knows how to cook and like do some fucking crazy curtain fucking things or whatever you need done around your house and throw pillow shit, right?
I think she's wearing it right there.
And now she's doing this. Fuck yeah, good on you. Look at that. She knows where the money is though, right? She know, like, cause she's not gonna do a full stand up here. You know what I mean? She like they've got her in poses that they're like, yep, nope, this works. I'm all for it.
But it's not that bad because she's not doing the like the Instagram like fat chick pose, you know?
That's not her.
Oh, that's the money shot right there.
That's not, there's no way. Is that like her granddaughter? Wow.
This is This is a lot. It's a lot to take in. Listen, I don't care how much makeup or Photoshop is there. That's impressive. Good for her.
Yep. Mike Sexton, you know what? At least she's an actual woman. I mean, not that that makes a difference to me, but for some people, I guess it does. The nice thing about sex with trannies, obviously, is when you reach around the front, it feels like you've gone all the way through. Mike, you've never experienced it. If you've never experienced it, you don't fucking know. So, boom, suck it.
Oh, yeah.
St. Ranger 1959, airbrush with many brushes. I don't give a shit.
You can use all the brushes.
I don't give a shit.
I can't believe I've never heard that sex with a tranny joke before out of your mouth. That sounded like you had that one handy.
Never heard well, you have to. When you reach around the other side, it has to be handy, Donnie. Come on now. Dude, we just taken the piss. I know you are, Mike, and so are we. Don't get offended. Like, come on. I'm telling you. I've told it. I've said it all before. I come from a world of professional wrestling. There is nothing that you can say that is going to offend me. Don't get discouraged by it. I encourage it.
Guys, throw that last comment. Throw that last comment back on the screen. Who is that from? ST Ranger 1959 looks great for over 60. Forget eight. She looks great for a 40-year-old in that picture, man. Like, I don't care how many airbrushes are on her.
None.
You could put all the airbrushes on Tid. He's still gonna look like Tid.
None of you motherfuckers are kicking her out.
Yeah, you've all done worse. Let's be honest.
Right? Right? She tells you to fucking tongue her ass, you're doing it. Telling you.
It's good for her.
100%. What is this? Hold on. Back that up a second here. What did this say? Oh, see? Kyoto what? Whiskers. Nothing like a dick in your ass and tits on your back. Rico Montana. These are famous quotes, ladies and gentlemen. I don't make this stuff up. These are actual celebrities in the real world out there saying these things. David Chandler, Martha would make most podcasters her bitch. Abso-fucking-lutely she would.
Yeah.
Good for her. Absolutely. She's done, what's next? She's
done hard time. I want to mention, if I can go back to this right here.
I'm the man of hour, the man of the power, too sweet to be sour.
He's funky like a monkey. Space is the place. Superstar Billy Graham passed away today at the age of 79. I didn't have a chance to do this because I only found out he passed away, I think, about half an hour or so before we went on air tonight. Superstar Billy Graham is a man I've had the opportunity to interview several times. The first time was way back in 2010. What I'm going to do is maybe later tonight or tomorrow, I'm going to post some clips of that up on our Instagram on Godfathers Podcasting, and I'll put it up on mine as well at Godfather Donnie. And if you want to hear some clips from a previous interview with superstar Billy Graham, we can do that. Super interesting cat. I think, Tid, to the best of my recollection, the first bad guy in wrestling to actually be openly cheered by the audience. Like the first cool bad guy.
Might very well be. Listen, there's no denying that Superstar Billy Graham influenced a shit ton of wrestlers.
Oh, yeah.
In the business, no doubt about it. He's a guy who deserves, like everybody talks about, oh, Superstar had a fucking big ego to go along with it. He deserved every bit of ego that he may have had for in front of people. But you also got to remember, to other people, he is a tremendous human being. And that tremendous human being is known and loved by everybody in the wrestling business. And if you can't fucking respect that, well, hoop your fucking hat. Simple.
Like me, he was also an ordained minister.
Oh, shut the fuck up about that. Jesus Christ. I'm going to send in an application for one of my fucking dogs to get the fucking license. Seriously. Fucking ordained.
So do it, minister. Motherfucker.
All right. And we're going to put that thing up. I fucking right. Fucking Reverend Teak coming your fucking way. By the way, Teak is blind and retarded and acts like a Roomba. Like walks into walls and then into the other wall. Like she's literally got sonar.
So I look forward to the service that Teak presides over. I have long been a believer that Montreal, Quebec is not a real place.
Well, some would say.
Despite the fact that Tid and I have been to Montreal, Quebec together, I am not convinced it is a real place. This story that broke this week is confirmation of this. There is a dog park in downtown Montreal with a sign that says no barking dogs in a dog park.
Yeah.
No barking dogs.
Does this surprise you, though, coming from there? Like, this has got to be the stupidest fucking thing in the world. That'd be like saying no dogs in the dog park.
Yeah. Like, what are you supposed to do? Beat them?
You can't stop a dog from barking, even if it has a muzzle on. They're still going to make fucking noise. It's what they do. That's like saying, that's like going to a regular park and saying with the kids, hey, kids, no fucking laughing. No having fun. You're in a park. Like,
oh, we did that during the pandemic. I would have thought
I didn't do shit. I don't have kids.
Being in Quebec, I would have thought the law was no barking unless it's en français, because everything in Quebec has to be en français.
How do you say bark in French? How do you say bark in French? Le bark?
Le bike.
No. I mean, you don't have to make it sound like fucking, why are you going to make it sound even more gay?
Toronto is real, baby. It's the center of the known universe.
Reverend Bob Levy quotes, Montreal and Toronto are not real. Well, I mean, which one is? Vancouver then? Calgary? Edmonton? Halifax? Like, get the fuck out of here. That's a lot for fucking bark, yo. Like, what? What? What the fuck is, you eat a lot of tree bark, do you? See, this explains a lot. That dog is trained to bark to strangers, like they're in the middle of a fucking conversation. No, he's barking at the stranger. Jesus.
Quebec is fucked, man. Like in Canada, it's recognized as a bilingual country, English and French, even though the only people that speak French in Canada are in Quebec or some parts of the Eastern, you know, the Maritimes. But in Quebec, even though it's legally bilingual, if you have any signage, any documentation, any products that are only in English, it is illegal.
You know what the thing is?
Literally illegal.
Here's the thing. I know a lot of people who live there, a lot of cool people. Individually, like everywhere else in the fucking world,
people in Quebec.
There are. And they've got really good strip joints, let's be honest.
Fair.
See? Like everywhere else, as a people, cool. But when you put them as a collective, you're like, why is this so fucking weird and off from everything else? You know what I mean? And that is Quebec. All right? So
I am not impressed with your performance.
Best of luck to y'all.
Fuck Quebec. I've never looked at Quebec.
Aggressive.
Here's another place that I'm not a fan of. Montana.
Come on now. That's big sky country, bitch.
I don't like Montana.
Fucking Yellowstone, man.
Don't like it. Montana Governor Greg Gianforte. Is that how you say his name?
It's how you say his name.
He signed a bill on Wednesday banning TikTok. He banned TikTok state.
That's aggressive. He's really cracking down there.
He said he wants to ban TikTok to protect Montanans' personal and private data from the Chinese Communist Party.
Right.
First of all, Montanans?
Yeah, just Montanans. I mean, fuck you if you live in Idaho, Colorado, anywhere. But
the word Montanans, that triggers me a little.
What would you call it? Montanians?
Maybe.
Montanites? Montanonians?
Maybe. Yes. Montanans, it doesn't roll. I don't like it.
Wow. Oh, well.
It should be different.
They should have fucking consulted you.
Also, when they passed Bill SB 419 to make TikTok illegal, did anyone tell them about ExpressView? do they not know about Nord? Do they know how easy it is to circumvent this shit?
But you know, it's gonna fucking cut down. It's gonna cut down enough. That's what they're hoping for, right? I mean, never mind. Let's not go after real fucking criminals, home invasions and fucking murders and stabbings and fucking child stuff. Like, there's a lot of real crime out there. No, we're going after a fucking app.
People are shooting with schools,
dances and chicks doing fucking bingy 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 with their fucking tops. Yeah. Gives a fuck.
people are shooting up schools, but we're concerned about TikTok and trans women that are reading stories to kids. This is what's lighting up the news.
Start showing the fucking shootings on the fucking TikTok. That'll get it shut down. Go ahead. Motherfuckers.
This story here, Ted sent this to me this morning, and I was like, this is not real. This is not real.
Okay.
But it's real. I checked.
Thanks.
There's an Indiana couple who adopted a seemingly 6-year-old Ukrainian girl. Come to find out, she was a grown ass woman with dwarfism. Yeah.
Just like this fucking movie, right?
This totally is like a movie plot. Orphan. This is like the plot of the 2009 horror film Orphan. So what happened was they adopted this child that's not a child. She's an adult. And they realized, you know, a year or two into her being adopted that she's got her period and she's got adult teeth. And
he was the one that noticed it. He was the one that noticed it, which makes me fucking second guess this motherfucker. He buys himself a fucking 6-year, what he thinks is a 6-year-old, and then notices that she's having a period and pubic hair. How did he fucking notice that?
It's a good point.
Son of a bitch, man. This, like, who, like, come on now with this documentary. This,
I mean, I guess a 6-year-old, you still help.
Bullshit.
A 6-year-old, you'd still be helping them get dressed. So that's not totally wacky. Think
this, right? And now this, now all of a sudden this 6-year-old has to defend herself off of this creepy fucking family that already has 3 boys and they want to have a fucking girl. No, see, they went about this wrong and they brought her in on this creepy level and it turned into like wannabe murders like this movie and the whole thing. But they should have, what they should have done is gone like the Woody Allen route. Right. And they could have had like a their own house cleaner in a couple of years who was already set and ready to go. Because if she's 22 already, I mean, then it's a tax write off. You got money coming back into the house. What the fuck are you going to do with a 6-year-old other than be creepy about it? Fuck that family.
There's a new documentary coming out called The Curious Case of Natalia Grace. There's Woody. That is the retelling of this entire story, The Curious Case of Natalie Grace. Andy or Austin, can you guys look up for me where, like, what streaming platform that doc is going to be on?
It's on ID. I saw the commercial earlier before. What's the ID? Show. ID, one of those like Discovery type channels or something like that, which means it's no one's going to see this online. No, which means it's going to be available online or whatever. See, look at that. Boom. From on ID. Apparently, the way the story goes that was done by People Magazine or something like that was the family bought her. They had her birth date changed back to 1989 so that it coincided with like what her age was, got her an apartment and fucking bailed, took the other kids, bounced to Canada, then got fucking arrested and charged for abandonment of a fucking child.
Who's even not a though child. This
bitch was already like 20 something. Yeah. What in the fuck, yo? Like, you need to check out the story. I think
we haven't even told you the craziest part. Apparently this Natalia Grace, she was like showing up at the foot of the bed with a knife. She tried to poison the mom.
Part of that's not. Oh,
she tried to stab the other kids in the family.
That might have been a favor.
We don't know what kind of kids they were.
Like, we don't know the other side of this story, right? This could be completely left-sided. Who knows?
I know that Colorado is a real place, but after this story, I'd like to nominate it to no longer be a real place.
Okay, why is that?
A Colorado man in Springfield was pulled over for speeding. Mm-hmm. And apparently, he tried to switch places with his passenger to sit in the driver's seat. The problem is the passenger was his dog.
What kind of dog?
The kind of dog that can't drive a car.
That is why he was fucking speeding. Hello. Of course he's going to get pulled over, Donnie. It's a fucking dog. Dogs can't drive. Good for this cop for fucking helping out this fine citizen taxpayer from Colorado, you say? From Colorado? I mean,
well, it says Springfield. You know what? This could have been an episode of The Simpsons. This could have been Chief Wear. Hey, that's a dog driving.
This is great. Here we go. Todd Pemper, Fact Sensei Chris. Thank you very much. That's me.
There is no amount of alcohol that would make me put a dog in the driver's seat. Like, I would run. Running is a better option at that point. Just run.
Dude, Todd says it right here. Scooby-Doo can drive. So if Scooby-Doo can drive, I mean, other dogs can drive. And it's Colorado. You just got to be high enough to believe, Donnie. Change the circumstances is what I'm saying. Change the circumstances and a dog can drive. In this circumstance, the dog could drive.
Scooby-Doo is the exception that proves the rule and nothing more, and I won't hear of it. This one falls under the category of shit that just should not be. And you know what? For this story, I'm going to nominate Minnesota no longer be considered a real place. Minnesota man has invented a beer-powered motorcycle.
God bless him.
This is insane.
Wait, is it new beer or used? My question.
Straight out the can, man.
Like, but new? Or
there's
like
a shot of it. So this, what you're seeing on the screen here, there's a, instead of having a gas engine, it's got a 14 gallon keg with a heating coil.
All right.
Okay. So when you pour beer into the top and then you fire it up, and I don't know if Austin or Andy, I don't know who's driving right now, but if you guys can pull back on that webpage where the story was, there's a video. And if you scrub forward a little bit, you'll see a shot of this bike firing up. And we don't want to play the video, but if you can find the still image of that bike turning on, it shoots out super heated steam out the mufflers and uses that to propel itself forward. This okay, thing is a death trap.
First of all, I think it's clickbait. I think it's fucking clickbait because the thing says Minnesota man invents beer powered motorcycle. And then he shows a picture of it next to a fucking case of fucking a six pack of Coors Light. That's not from fucking beer. That's piss. So there's no way it's an actual, if he's running on Coors Light, they deserve it. That's all it is steam. That's how fast it's running through you. That's what that motorcycle is. That motorcycle is more human than human.
Did you just want to play it at all, guys?
What's that?
Did you want the video played at all?
No, we don't need the video played, but if you want to just scrub forward, you'll see it's about halfway through where they show him actually fire the sucker up, and you'll see where the it's just the most intimidating looking thing ever. When there it is. Look at that.
Oh, wait. Hold on. Can we actually see this? Part of this is kind of hot. It reminds me of something.
It's like a giant money shot.
I'm not sure what it is. It reminds me of something. Yeah. I may have dated her.
This is Ted when he reaches around.
Fuck yeah. Amazing.
That's insane. So this guy's name is Kai Michelson. He is also, by the way, the inventor of the rocket-powered toilet.
Okay. All right, that's some jackass shit.
And a jet-powered coffee machine.
Why?
I don't know. What
the fuck do you need a jet-powered coffee machine for? Isn't it supposed to be the shit inside of the fucking coffee machine that is supposed to be jet-powered? Like the fuel, you know what I mean? Everybody talks about high octane fucking coffee. This guy took it to the literal.
I don't understand rocket powered toilet either. Like, you got a duty that just doesn't go down. You need more oomph.
Or, I mean, the rocket powered toilet is kind of funny because like you could literally like launch that shit into like your neighbor's fucking yard.
Well, I never thought of that.
Right. This is what I'm saying.
You fill it with duty and then it becomes an assault.
Why are you saying duty? What are you, fucking six?
It's fun.
Duty? Really? Yeah. Fucking child.
Yeah.
Wow.
Look at that.
Like, seriously. Look at this fucking nerd.
That's not him, by the way. He looks like a reject from Sons of Anarchy, the inventor.
He looks like a nerd. If he looks like he was a guy from Sons of Anarchy, he was definitely owing somebody money. That guy is a fucking nerd.
Yeah, that ain't him. I don't know, man. I think that, I don't know. I look at that and I just go, why? Like, he knows it's not going to be street legal. he's saying, you know, it's just going to end up in my personal museum at home, and that's about it.
So that assholes like us will fucking talk about it. That's why, Donnie.
I guess.
Right?
Here we are. I got another story here all before right. we run out of time. And I don't know much about this story because I found this one. There's a goat.
Yeah. Thank you.
That was captured in New Jersey, the same state I was stranded in on Thursday. He's been called the peeping goat. He's been seen looking into windows for the last few weeks while he's been on the loose in New Jersey. He's been captured and moved to a new home on a farm. He was found in the Chatham Township by the police. He escaped from a slaughterhouse. And then he's been running around staring in people's windows, probably looking for refuge. This guy doesn't want to be curried.
This goes looking for the underground fucking railroad. And and he's going to end up fucking curry. It's great. You know, he ain't going to a refuge or whatever the fuck. Where are you going to send a goat? Peeping Billy. Right? Exactly. Like, listen, where are you going to send this fucking goat? You're going to send it to a stew. Plain and simple. Fucking goat, peeping goat.
Hey, do you say goat curry or curry goat?
Both.
No, you got to be on one side of the fence. You're either Jamaican or Trinidadian. I've said it both ways.
No, neither, dude.
Well, you got to side with one set. You're either curry goat or goat curry. Which team?
Curry, goat, goat.
People in the chat, is it curry goat or goat curry? Tell me.
Yeah, that's a good question, right? What is it for you?
Well, do you say curry chicken or chicken curry?
Depends. Am I having Indian or am I having West Indian?
It's irrelevant. You have to have your own phraseology. It's always the ingredient, then the protein. Curry goat, curry chicken.
Says who?
Because I grew up around Jamaicans.
Oh, because you fucking grew up around Jamaicans. You fucking make the fucking rules. Get fucked.
That's correct pronunciation.
Tell me how to fucking talk. Really? I have a fucking Bafana too. How about that?
Yeah. That is a racist.
That is not even. Yeah, you trying to fucking be racist about because I grew up around fucking Jamaicans.
Did you just tell me to have a Bafana?
What? Yeah. Yeah. How do you like
Bafana?
That?
Bafana?
Yeah, Bifana. That's right.
It's pronounced
Bifana.
Bifana.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Stick their fucking up your ass.
It's a Bifana, not a Bifana.
Exactly.
You want to eat a Bifana?
But you know what? But you want to know something? I said it, and so fuck you.
Go to a Portuguese deli and go, can I get a Bifana? They'll throw you out.
I wouldn't have to do that. Just like if I'm going to a fucking a West Indian fucking place, I'm not going to say fucking curry chicken. I'm going to say fucking chicken curry if I go to a fucking Jamaican place. Get fucked.
I want a Bifana.
You're about as fucking worldly as a fucking marble.
Are you my Caucasian?
Yes. And I'm still more it worldly.
A racist.
Fucking Portuguese wannabe Spanish guy.
Wannabe Spanish, never. Exactly. See, now this.
Look at that.
For anyone who has never had a Bifana and is pronounced Bifana.
It's Bifana. Yeah.
This absolutely. Is literally the greatest sandwich.
Understand the hot mustard on the back of it.
Yeah, that's wrong. You need guys, can you find a better picture?
Like, I don't understand that. Like, it's fucking, you got to have some fucking hot peppers on that some bitch. And you know what I found? Donnie? Honestly, a little tiny schmear of some fucking mayo on there just for the fucking. I'm just telling you, try it. Just a little schmear. Yeah, that's closer. But we're missing something here, boys. We're fucking missing something.
You need the onion sauce. Eat the
onions and peppers, man. Yeah, that little fucking color. You need that.
You can go without the peppers, but the onion sauce is key. It's got to be
a little bit of extra fucking petty.
A little petty petty. That's fine.
Yeah. There we go. Getting better.
There you go. Onion sauce.
The bun's wrong.
The bun is wrong. That's a fucking hamburger bun.
See, see, Donnie, I know. I know.
It could be Fauna.
I know. I'm telling you. I know. So don't fucking try to tell me.
Well, I don't know anything about these sandwiches there, eh? I'm just trying the best I can, eh?
I don't know these sandwiches there, eh?
Our White Castle.
Jesus Christ,
there, eh? In the back room over there. Yeah. Listen, very quickly before we go, I want to just say a couple of things to this to the chat, and then we'll do our plugs. Make sure we get those things in this week, and then we'll say goodnight. Reverend Bob Levy quotes, yes, Perry is the man, but Bob is the G-O-A-T. That is absolutely true. Bob Levy is the GOAT. Don't kid yourself. As much fun as it was in Pottstown, Bob Levy is the man. Let's see. Cool, another broad podcast where neckbeards blather at each other. No, actually, we're blathering at you, and we thank you for stopping by. Please tell a friend. Don't worry about telling your mom. She already fucking knows.
Don't be rude.
Sorry. Not really.
Fuck this shit, I'm out. Mm-mm. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
No thanks.
Don't mind me. I'ma just grab my stuff and leave. Excuse me, please. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Nope.
Fuck this shit, I'm out.
All right, then.
I don't know what the fuck just happened, but I don't really care. I'ma get